And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, so you want limbs, eyes?
Yeah, let's just keep it simple. We'll do two legs, two arms, two eyes.
Okay, limbs and eyes.
So I'm actually going to do four legs, but I'm good on the arms. And then I'll do two eyes. So I'm going to do eight legs and eight eyes. I want six legs, 30,000 eyes, and four wings. I'm chilling. I'm actually good on all that, so.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, December 8th, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody. Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! Over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and joining us live from Las Vegas. This morning, we got him up early. It's athletic podcast producer and host, Andrew Schlecht. What's up, Andrew? How's it going?
It's going great. The in-season tournament's been really fun. I really enjoyed being out here so far.
How long have you been in Vegas?
About 22 hours.
Oh, God.
Has it been the longest 22 hours
yeah,
of your life?
Yeah, it sounds like you've
what,
been there
man?
For months. Did you have a fun night last night or what?
No, I mean, at the games I did, but like, no, I came back here and recorded Down to Dunk and
oh,
went to sleep.
You're wild, man.
You are crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty crazy.
You really are. Look, we wanted to have you on here. We won't keep you long because you've got a, you know, again, it's early where you are, but we want to just get your take on what the atmosphere was like last night, or yesterday, I should say, there in Vegas for those two semifinal games, because we had that first one starting at 2 p.m. local time. So what was it like in the arena? Was it even full? Because we couldn't see on television with the you know, the stage lighting. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was not full at all. It was less than half full, probably into the second quarter of Pacers Bucks. Mm. And the crowd itself was really strange because they weren't really cheering after any made basket, yet the PA announcer was excited when everybody scored.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that made for a really strange environment to start with. But as the game went on, it got better. But still, there was no true rooting interest from the crowd for that game. It was maybe favored the Bucks, maybe. But then you get to the second game, and boy, this was a Lakers home game.
Right.
I mean, it was a sea of yellow. Those Lakers fans showed out. It was loud. They were very excited. Everything Austin Reeves did was cheered so loudly. That was fun. That was a fun environment because it definitely felt like, oh, I feel like I've been at an NBA game.
That's cool. What was the turnover like between these two games? And as part of the media, did you have to leave or could you just chill still in the arena as they cleared out the fans from the first game and then brought in a lot of these Lakers fans?
I actually didn't witness it because I went into the Bucks locker room after the game just to kind of see what the vibe was like there. And so they had to get everybody out and then ticket everybody back in. And some people came to both. But it was kind of a weird process, but I missed all of it because I was in the Bucks locker room afterwards because I just wanted to see, do the Bucks care? Do they care that they just lost?
Well, there and then, like, we see the coming out.
Yeah.
What was it like in the Bucks locker room?
It was very somber. It was very, very somber. And the only thing that was said out loud when I was in there was Thanasis said, "Wait, does this count for the regular season?"
Oh my God.
and then it got like slight, maybe like 7% more somber after that. So, it was. Obviously, they cared. They wanted to win. Yeah. They wanted to stay in Vegas. They wanted to be there.
Giannis and Damian played over 40 minutes in that game. They seemed like they were going for it. I want to get your opinion just in general, because it was weird that the times that they started in Vegas, 2 and 5, odd. But in general, the whole point of this is to just get more people excited about games in November on the calendar. Your opinion, do you think that this is just going to work from year to year to get people more watching in November?
I think the fans that aren't coming to the games, yes. Because I myself have been very excited about it. But getting people to come to the games is going to be another thing. The league is very lucky that the Lakers made it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know who else would travel. Because if this was Pelicans Thunder, I mean, both crowds might have looked quite the same. Mm. Where it's just like, hey, there's not a whole, I mean, there's NBA fans here. They don't really know who to clap for. So I do think that that's going to have to be addressed, because of two teams that don't have fans that travel are here, and we saw it in game one. It's like, oh, well, this is kind of awkward. It kind of feels like the rookie sophomore game.
Huh. Yeah. You know,
it's, and so I do wonder about that. However, the players care, the teams care. You know, talk to people that work for the Bucks before the game, and they very much cared about winning that game.
Did you have a favorite moment from either of these semifinal games when we're talking like on the court or off even?
I mean, on the court, when LeBron hit that heat check three, like it just lit the arena on fire.
Right.
I mean, that was very fun. The Obi Toppin reverse dunk was very fun as well. The alley-oop. We were doing videos on the concourse at halftime. We did a video with a guy who is strictly a Tyrese Halliburton fan and flew in from Hawaii.
Oh, whoa.
For this. And that was my personal favorite moment, because I never thought I would see that combination.
Halliburton fandom is growing. It is. Yeah. It truly is.
When he hit the step back and he's yelling, "It's our time, it's our time, it's our time," could you hear him? Because it was loud, and he went on.
I was very high up, sitting with Will Guillory and John Hollinger, so I could not. I could not hear him.
Do you have a favorite in Saturday's championship game? 5:30, I guess, local time in Vegas, 8:30 here on the East Coast. I guess it's on ABC. Pacers, Lakers, after seeing them in person here, you know, Lakers dominant victory, Pacers pulling it out over the Bucks in the end. Who are you taking, and who do you think the league would almost prefer to win? Because we have a Cinderella team here and then, you know, a dynasty-like Lakers team with LeBron. What do you think?
I think the league is probably maybe indifferent about who wins, mm-hmm. just because, like, we got the Lakers in the finals, great. Check the box, we're good to go. I go back and forth because this is definitely another Lakers home game. However, the Pacers have been pretty good on the road, and so maybe they would feed off of that. But I think I'm gonna go with the Lakers. LeBron wants this. They've played really well. The Lakers are kind of rolling right now, so I think I'm gonna go Lakers. But it's one game. Like, somebody could get hot. If the Pacers get hot, if it's Buddy and Halliburton, like, go off and make 12 threes, I mean, that's it. But I think I favor the Lakers here. Like, LeBron wants to tack this onto his legacy.
Yeah, he definitely does. One other thing I wanted to ask you about. I saw your tweet yesterday prior to the games. They had a replica of the Gary O'Brien trophy there. And it looks literally fake to me, as if you had a VR camera that just puts up the cup wherever you look. How gigantic is this thing?
Oh, it's giant. It's probably 17 feet tall, I would say.
Just cruising through Las Vegas.
Were people taking photos with it? Or, like, I mean, there's nobody around right there.
I took a photo and sent it to my wife. I mean, people taking photos with it. It was cool. I mean, they set up like a pretty fun environment outside. They have like the multi-tiered hoops outside that you can try to shoot on, like a 20-foot hoop or what. And so that was fun. And then they had And I this is my only regret. So if they had they had Nelly performing in between games outside, and I did not get to go see Nelly in between games.
Man. Oh man! Wow, I didn't know they did that between the games. They did that. That's sort of
Nelly, TLC, and somebody else performed.
Wow, okay.
Which it's like wow, like middle school me was.
Two final questions before we let you go, Andrew, and then really sort of dissect the games here. What was the court like in person? You know, that was getting a lot of response on Twitter and from ourselves, this very red and blue court. What was it like in person? Was it worse, better than you thought?
Yeah, it was distracting, and I could only think about what it would look like with 3D glasses on and regretted not bringing them with me.
Okay. And what do you have, what do you got lined up today? Or tomorrow? I mean, you got really 2 days here in Vegas until the game tomorrow night. Are you going to do a million more podcasts and go crazy, or are you going to actually do something fun there?
Going on Sam Vecini's podcast later today.
Woo!
Game theory. Gonna be dope. And making some videos, hanging out, probably going to dinner with people.
Okay,
I am going to do this. I am going to go see the EYBL guys are here. There's 8 teams. These are like the best 8 high school teams in the country.
Okay.
Are playing. And so Montverde is here. Cooper Flagg is here. He plays at 8 o'clock tonight. So I'll be going to that for sure.
All right. So Andrew Schleck doing some scouting tonight.
Even though the Thunder are good, he can't quit the draft.
Yeah, well, they got a million draft picks.
That's a great
point.
They
probably draft half of these guys he's going to see tonight. Oh, man. All right, Andrew, again, thanks for jumping on here super early in the morning. We appreciate it. And we'll have a blast at the IST Finals on Saturday.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. Take care. Andrew Schleck. From every podcast you've ever heard about basketball, part of The Athletic there. Okay, well, let's get into these games a little bit.
I think Andrew knows that both these teams are going to go party if they win on Saturday. They're going to get it on.
You think they're going to wait?
Yeah, they have to.
Oh. I don't think the Pelicans did.
No.
they got there and partied.
You heard Zion and Ingram, they were asked what they were going to do if they won $500,000. They just looked at each other and started laughing. That was the laugh of guys who had just spent $100,000 that they won in the previous game.
But I don't know. Ingram looked at Zion and said, boy. And then, Zion just started giggling like crazy. I think they allowed themselves to be this big target for the Lakers. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to go party after the game. The Lakers said, screw that. We are going to win this basketball game. They gave it away. But the Pacers, they know they're going to rock.
Okay, we'll start with the first one there. Yeah, the more entertaining game of the two with Halliburton and the Pacers. Beating the Bucks 128-119 to advance to the finals. Halliburton, man, 27 points, 7 boards, 15 assists. Another game with 0 turnovers. And he hit the 2 big shots to, like, end this. One where he blew by Brooke Lopez. Pretty finish at the rim.
Yeah.
And then that step back 3 after Brooke sort of got switched onto him. A little easy on that switch there. Dame just gave him to him. And then he hit the 3. And that's when we got the Dame time-like celebration. What a game from this guy. And it is cool that it's like a coming-out party for him. And it just continues here. It's neat that they're on nationally televised games. And people are seeing the Pacers and, more importantly, him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as he told everybody, I think we're shocking the world. I mean, they are really trying to win this tournament. And that was a huge offensive rebound to get Halliburton that 3 that he was able to point at the watch for. This entire team is working their ass off. And their bench, I think, really won this game because the Bucks bench just wasn't there. Bobby P was not himself. And they've got a couple injuries on their bench. But the Pacers bench was there. You saw TJ McConnell take it to the rim, and everybody pumped up getting up off the bench. Same with Nesmith doing his thing. And then Halliburton, was absolutely able to win it at the end with 2 makes, just 2 makes. But as he said, he thinks we're shocking the world. It's a rejuvenating, as Miles Turner put it. Miles Turner's never looked cooler than in that post-game press conference.
Incredible line, saying we don't have any Hollywood guys here. No shirt under the suit, chains everywhere, glasses on indoors. Even Halliburton's like, What are you talking about, man? Look at you. You're trying to get yourself traded to the Lakers.
We've always thought he's a geek, and now, yeah, I mean, he's bringing it up. He's Vegas bringing it up.
But he had a great game, Miles Turner.
Oh, he did.
Yes, 26 he did. Points, 10 boards to go along with what Halliburton did, and all the Pacers bench guys who were awesome.
And Turner had a big offensive rebound tip-in as well after the Lakers got a stop playing zone, but he just flew over the top. Bucks got a stop. He flew over the top. 15 offensive rebounds on the night for the Pacers. That's the tie for the most they've had all season long. They're 23rd in the league in offensive rebounding. They outscored the Bucks 72-60 in the paint. The Bucks are a team that lives in the paint, but Milwaukee couldn't stop dribble penetration from anybody. Like, Halliburton was obviously the star. He had so many high off-the-glass finishes over Brook Lopez. The touch was incredible. But Nembhard was getting to the lane. TJ McConnell was getting to the lane. Mathurin didn't have a great game, but he was in the lane as well. The Pacers did a great job of being able to touch paint and get good shots after that. There was that stretch in the third quarter where Milwaukee went to a zone, and it definitely threw the Pacers out of rhythm. They came back. Dame was on fire, but then somehow the Pacers were able to find the strength, the resiliency to bounce back and come back in the fourth quarter. I thought that was so impressive, and you're right, Taz. It was basically the bench that won the game for Indiana.
Going five deep, big time five deep, while the Bucks only were able to really go three deep. So they were a lot more fresh in that fourth quarter, even though it was Dame time in the third quarter when he went off for 18. In the fourth quarter when Adrian Griffin said, "Dame, we need you. Our bench ain't working. Get back on that floor." Him and Giannis to play over 40 minutes, and Brook to go heavy with 37. I mean, those three guys played more than Halliburton, every other starter, because, the Pacers were just fresh at the end of the game.
Indiana's reserves outscored Milwaukee's backups 43-13. You already went through a couple of the guys who contributed. I thought, McConnell, again, had a stretch in this game, which is that positive impact. He finished 9-4-3. He played 11 minutes and filled up the box score. He did, unfortunately, then have a stretch where he just kept turning the ball over. But besides that, he was really, really good. Neesmith played great defense for a majority of this game. He was a plus 16, hit a three. It's always great. Jackson, 11-6 off the bench for Indiana. And then Nembhard, before the injury, which was really unfortunate, sort of looked like he rolled the ankle, but then maybe it was an extension of the knee, hyperextension of the knee. He went 4-5, and I thought when they did get flustered with the zone the Bucks threw at them, they talked about it, figured out, and then Nembhard was living in the middle of the paint. And, that's where the area is in a zone, and he just kept hitting like jumpers around the free throw line. And again, 4-5 for him. So really good contributions, not to go along with their stars, obviously Halliburton, their superstar, and Miles Turner playing a little bit like a star right now, but they don't win this without all those guys chipping in here. And I'm ecstatic for Pacers fans that they are, they've knocked off the Sixers now, and obviously the Celtics and the Bucks, and are going to have a chance to win this thing on Saturday night. Who knows if they can? But it's cool that just people are getting to see them because they're not on national television a lot. And that's just the truth. And you don't even know if you're like a casual fan or even like a fan that maybe watches TNT and stuff like that and ESPN. You maybe don't know what Tyrese Halliburton has done for a majority of this year. And you've seen it at least in these two games, these last two.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch. But also, do you really blame the networks for not putting them on? They were fun last season.
No.
Nobody knew what was going to be happening coming in, and they've obviously taken another step forward. Just great stuff from the Pacers. And Andrew's exactly right. The league has to be ecstatic, because on one end, you've got LeBron and the Lakers, two of the most established brands in NBA history.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you got the Pacers, a Cinderella team with a star in the making here in Tyrese Halliburton. Credit to Reggie Miller for that one, star in the making, in real time. It's happening in real time.
Maybe they were trying to get fans into the arena, having a Nelly and TLC concert outside, because it did seem to us, being on the East Coast, these times are strange.
Of course,
a 2 o'clock start and a 5 o'clock start locally.
Yeah,
it ended up being six. That's right. But at the same time, I was out at a restaurant for the 2 o'clock game, and it ended here at around 7:30, the fourth quarter being played, before the games in other leagues are starting or getting going, the Thursday night NFL game. And people had it on. And people were noticing that Tyrese Halliburton was playing on this court, which obviously is an example of a different game. It's a different tournament. It's not just a November regular season boring game. Why would we have it on? So it helped. He just said, he was just walking through the TV and said, "Wow, this Tyrese Halliburton guy, this guy is good. He's doing things." So people are just noticing it more, even if locally there weren't as many people in that 2 o'clock start and that first start. It's for eyeballs around the world and the U.S. especially, and it's helping. It's helping in that regard.
That's an interesting point. I was on playback for that first game. There was a lot of people from the U.K. that were loving it. They're like, oh, we got a game on at a normal time here for them. So I don't think that's really a part of this whole entire equation here for the league. It was just this situation where they got two games, like we debated, Trey. Like, they decided to have two semifinal games on the same night in the same arena. And so they're going to have to, like, have them at odd times because you have to have the gap to clear it all out. But, yeah, look, I'm glad it was an entertaining game. I'm glad Dame caught fire in the third quarter. I thought it started to give that arena some juice as they started to trickle in there. At that time, it'd still be like 3:30. You know, you got off of work early, I guess, and then made your way over to the arena. But, yeah, it was nice how it picked up. And then, yeah, the second game, which I know we'll pivot to here, I mean, that was awesome. I mean, you just had a bunch of Lakers fans, and LeBron decided, I'm going to put on a show tonight. I mean, that's what it was.
That guy was incredible. But, yeah. I mean, the Pacers should have played at primetime, though. Neither of these games were a sellout. And I think the ratings specifically for the Pacers game, they're going to be low.
Yeah.
Despite us sickos watching it.
So you think a move for next season's in-season tournament is put these semifinal games on separate nights and have them at a more, you know, even if it's 8 o'clock East Coast time, it's more manageable 5 o'clock there, I guess.
Yeah. I think it should be, they should have their own night, because you don't want to have the super duper late game. And I also wonder if, I mean, I don't know, a big part of the things that players have been talking about is, not only are we making $500,000 if we win, we get to go to Vegas for 3 days, if we even make it to the semifinals, but there was definitely less juice in the crowd. Specifically for the Pacers game, it would have been cool to see in their local market, because that game was awesome when they beat the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
It would be amazing to hear how this decision came about, because people are watching it internationally because they're trying to align it. They're trying to mimic a soccer tournament. They are trying to imitate the FA Cup to some degree, and eyeballs on the East Coast. It is interesting to hear that, and it's worked out perfectly. Should they make that court gold for the Pacers and Lakers on Saturday?
Oh man, that was a big debate on playback last night. Are we getting a finals court? No way.
No,
not a chance. I don't think so. They're gonna run this one for the third game, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're court maxing right now. it's insane. And literally both games looked the exact same last night. Yellow and white on a red and blue court. Mm-hmm. Both games.
So who is gonna get to wear their gold in the final?
Lakers were a one seed, right?
Yeah.
Well, so were the Pacers.
Yeah, but Lakers probably had the better of the records.
I guess
between
it's point
the two.
Differential. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Who gets to decide who's wearing white, I guess, and who's wearing gold on Saturday night on ABC? I forgot about that. Just quickly before we talk about LeBron, thoughts on Reggie with Breen and Doris, or Doc with Harlan and Candace Parker? It ended up being for the TNT call. What do you think? Any thoughts?
Both solid.
Yeah.
Reggie talks a lot. Did
not
Doris
a lot of Doris
speak in the second half? I don't know. Not very much. No. That's what I would say would be my main concern. I thought Doc and Candace, great combination. They spoke the same amount, but it felt like we were watching Reggie Miller doing a solo act. I kind of thought in that first one.
Yeah, which didn't he say, like, Reggie doesn't seem, or at least maybe I'm misremembering, that he doesn't seem to do a lot of three-man booths. So Reggie's probably used to being, hey,
yes,
it's just me, I'm breaking down.
He was even taking him to commercial.
Yeah, no.
I was like, well, respect.
I got it all. But I would say overall it wasn't like, oh my God, this is awkward. Like, not really at all.
It wasn't awkward.
No.
Because it just felt like a two-man booth. I thought in general, I thought TNT did a better job production-wise than ESPN did.
Mm. And what did you catch or see or think of the interactions between the, you know, the pregame shows here, Inside and the Countdown? A lot of stuff happening before, of course, after with Inside.
That's part of the reason I think TNT did it better, because they were together.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, going back and forth from two different locations.
Yelling across. Yeah. I mean, it was funny with what Chuck was saying to Stephen A. half the time, but a little weird.
When they got to Reggie calling an Indiana Pacers game, I wanted his opinion to hear if the team should decide to retire, or sorry, I'm hang up a banner.
Oh, right.
For if they win. I just want to hear it. Being in that arena.
Well, I can ask him on Saturday. No, he's not on it. Never mind.
Because the Lakers
Doc was complaining. I got to do both these games.
Lakers said they're not hanging a banner. Okay, I get it. You've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff in the rafters. It's different for the Pacers.
Rick Carlisle said they will.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. They wanted to.
No, they got to.
All right, let's move to LeBron.
Oh, hold on real quick.
Okay.
I think we saw Miles Turner's two best dunks of his career last night.
Oh,
he had a two-hander on Giannis that was sick, and then he had another one on Brook Lopez, basically the exact same play in the second.
Yeah.
Those were nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another huge Miles Turner dunk from his career.
I don't know.
But yeah. No, I mean, they're on the short list.
Yeah, that was nice. The Giannis one was crazy. And also, you know, we've criticized Giannis a lot for, like, what did you spend that Hakeem Olajuwon money on? He had an Hakeem move at one point on Aaron Nesmith. It was in the third quarter. He drives the lane, did like the big ball fake, and came back to the other side. I think the Pacers, though, were kind of happy to trade twos because they were not double-teaming Giannis. They were just like, Nesmith, do what you can. Yep. Foul him if you have to.
Yeah.
But, man, the Pacers scored 128 points, and they made seven threes. That's wild.
That's crazy.
They got outshot by the Bucks.
Yeah.
And still smoked them.
Quickly, the Bobby Portis thing, we almost like sort of slipped it in there when Andrew was talking about being in the locker room, but we're hearing reports, or we saw reports from, I guess it was Chris Haynes, saying he was pretty vocal in the locker room with Coach Griffin about sort of what they were or were not running at the end of games. Are you putting a lot into this? This is not a big deal to you? Sort of a vet there with a rookie coach and a veteran locker room, and this will be nothing? Or is there something a little more here?
There's definitely a problem with them not running through Dame at the end of games at times and just running through Middleton as they were. But I think that's just Bobby talking.
Bobby? Bobby just upset that maybe he's already spent that $500,000 too? That's what I kept thinking. He's pissed. Oh, man, I thought for sure we were going to win this thing. You blew it, coach. What do you think?
I think that the inside guys were right. That it's a little concerning that this got out immediately and pretty easy to follow the breadcrumbs of who the leak was. and also, this is the third thing that we've had with Adrian Griffin in the first month and a half of the season. Terry Stotts, followed by the defense change, followed by basically Bobby Portis calling out and saying, you need to call some plays down the stretch. Also, in the postgame press conferences, you heard Giannis talk about the coaching not having them organized. A strange press conference from Giannis. He was basically like, I don't want to call out anybody, coaches or players, but I'm going to call out our coaches and also our bench. So he threw everybody under the bus, I thought, in that one. Bobby's taking a step back. I don't know. It hasn't been a great start with Adrian Griffin is what I'm saying.
Bobby Portis has just struggled the last 8 to 10 games or so. He hasn't looked like the number six guy, the guy who has a possibility of winning sixth man of the year. So that's a problem. Pat Connaughton is out. He's helped them win a championship. Jay Crowder is out. The Pacers bench was awesome. And that's the point of this game, is that they ran 10 guys who were great, and Miles Turner loves the trade of Domantas Sabonis for Tyrese Haliburton because Haliburton is playing like one of the best guards in the game, period. He has stepped up, and he said that Domantas Sabonis is a good player, but it's well-suited for both games. De'Aaron Fox got a guy. Now I got a guy as a point guard, so it's working awesome.
All right, LeBron James scored 30 points. Lakers crushed the Pelicans, 133-89. LeBron, 30 points in, you know, not a lot of minutes, 9-12 from the field, 4-4 from deep, 8-8 at the line. That's good for LeBron. 8 assists, 5 boards before he subbed out with like, I don't know, 5.5 to go in the third quarter because it was over. TK, what did you think of LeBron deciding, yeah, I'd like to try and win this thing, because holy crap, right out of the gate, he went and posted up Herb Jones.
Right away.
Yeah. Got the and-one, did his little his sort of new flex type thing he's doing with the shoulders a lot more. He set the tone right away, I guess, the point.
That was pretty impressive from LeBron. I think Darvin Ham called him the ultimate tone setter, which, yes. I would agree. He completely set the tone in this one. He was looking like Miami LeBron, I thought, the way he was running in transition. Very fast, very powerful. When he scored the 11 straight in the second quarter, he hit that deep heat check three. Then he had a layup down the lane right after that. That was incredible. Schleck said it was completely lit in the arena. It sounded like it. LeBron took 3 charges in the first half of this game. It's the second time since 13-14, when they started keeping track of this stuff, that he's taken 3 in a game, period. He'd taken 3 in a game the entire, or 3 in the entire season coming into last night. So clearly, it meant a lot to him. And I think it meaning a lot to him and the game not obviously meaning a whole bunch to the Pelicans really showed. And, you know, they just stomped on him, really.
Yeah, it was a miraculous win for this entire team. Because, yes, LeBron, 30 points in 23 minutes. never done that before. He's never scored 30 plus in 25 minutes or less. That's new. That he's just dropped.
That's cool to do right before he turns 39.
Yeah, and that he was able to play against the bigs of the Pelicans. That's their strength. They should be out rebounding and dominating. But as he just started raining down the threes, they decided, okay, maybe we should get it out of his hands. But because he is so big and muscular, he can take it to the rack, no problem. As well, like he felt good. He felt rested. He felt spectacular. An 18-point second quarter, and then everybody starting to rain down. I think LeBron's got to feel good. AD's got to feel good that they can throw Jared Vanderbilt and Rui Hachimura and Cam Reddish. They have guys to just throw at other good players on the perimeter and defend. But then it was just a miraculous three-point barrage. 22 threes for this team. Like everybody, LeBron hit 4. Tayshaun Prince hit 5. In playing defense, Austin Reeves hit 3. So for 6 rotation players to be raining down threes, this was LeBron just running to the finals.
I was getting LeBronto flashbacks, I'll be honest, watching LeBron last night as a longtime suffering Raptors fan, against LeBron at least. That's what I was taking from this. Like, oh yeah, we've seen this before, where it's just like, he's decided, I'm going to toy with you. I'm going to dominate this game right from the jump. I'm going to be throwing hoops left and right. Obviously, felt comfortable with the three-pointer, hitting him from the crazy in-season tournament logo. Whew, he wants this. You had called it, Tass. He really wants this thing. And yeah, maybe the extra rest here with the weird schedule, the way it's set up, has been helping him out here too. But he said, quote, "We got to finish our breakfast on Saturday. That's the most important thing." Whoa. The 8:30 breakfast. I love breakfast for dinner sometimes. I hear you, LeBron. But yeah, he wants to get this done and wrap it up here. He's not happy with just making the finals.
I wonder if the opponents know where he'll be napping, because he's a napper. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they want to go banging on the hotel doors to trying to wake him up. What is the recipe there? Yeah, he's 30 in the quarterfinal. No, 31 in the quarterfinal. 30 in the semifinal. If he scores 30 in each of these elimination games, it's an easy.
Well, we know who's winning MVP at least. It's either Halliburton for the Pacers or LeBron for the Lakers. Yeah. So it just depends who wins the game. Interesting tweet I saw from Ryan Russillo this morning about Zion. He tweeted, "Watching Zion in person was a different experience than watching Halliburton. Zion will get 30 in a game next week and people will say he's fine, but he isn't. The bet that he'll figure it out seems like the wrong side now. Tonight was brutal." So Zion had 13 points, shot 6 of 8, okay. 1 of 6 at the free throw line, 3 assists and 3 turnovers, and he definitely, I mean, like a lot of the Pelicans, lollygagging out there. There was not a lot of juice to these guys. But what do you make of that tweet? Any truth to it? How do you feel about Zion? How he's looked through the first 20 games? What do you think?
Adam Silver doesn't like it when NBA media says one team just wanted it more. But Zion himself said we were too laid back, myself specifically, and I think the Lakers were kind of messing with his head the way they were playing him defensively. LeBron was on him, and he's just like, I don't care.
Go ahead.
Shoot a shot if you want to. And obviously Zion didn't want to really take the outside jumpers, wasn't feeling comfortable, 1 of 6 at the line. I saw a few different places calling this the most meaningful game of Zion Williamson's NBA career, because he's missed the playoffs, he missed the play-in tournament, so this is kind of the biggest stakes he's seen so far. And between this and the performance against the Sacramento Kings when he had 10 points, but the Pelicans were able to pull out the win regardless, not great, I would say. I mean, maybe this is like the two worst games Zion plays the entire season. Mm-hmm. And if you're focused on it, then you're catching it at the ultimate wrong night, but it was not encouraging. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
I think it did suck that they played well to start this game. They were on the offensive boards. They had 5 offensive boards in the first half of the first quarter. So it looked like they had the juice, and then LeBron decided to turn it on, and they laid back, and then it just snowballed.
Yeah.
So that was a huge part, I think. Just the momentum. They did not fight back.
Did you stick with this game to the end, gentlemen, or when did you turn it off? Because I know a 20-point lead in this NBA doesn't really matter and can be gone like that, but this one had the feeling when LeBron subbed out when they were up like, what, 30 or so? LeBron threw an oop, like he just like went like, and it was like, oh, okay. I think it made it a 30-point lead. That's when I was like, okay, good night.
Yeah, I tuned out when a second guy named Max came in. I'll stick with Christie, but once you Lewis checks in, no thank you.
Yeah. That's when you can go to sleep.
That's too many Maxes.
For sure. Final related note here with LeBron. His son, USC freshman Bronny James, nearing his much-anticipated college debut, is expected to play his first minutes on Sunday against Long Beach State. So this works out perfectly for LeBron.
He's ideal. Got
the Saturday night championship game against the Pacers, and then he can go watch his son, in theory, play some minutes here.
Doesn't get much better than that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Guys being dads, what's better than this?
That's right. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll do a little more talk about the in-season tournament. We'll make our all-tournament team with only one game left. Don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, here in the Classic Factory on a Friday, it's The Drop. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live on YouTube. We always love to see it. Smash that like button, subscribe, podcast listeners, 5-star ratings and reviews. Before we get into the NBA in-season tournament all-tournament team and hear your take on that, shouts to ING Roberto, who in the No Dunks Discord brought this screen grab to my attention. Look who it is, repping the No Dunks hoodie in beautiful Las Vegas at the IST semifinals. That right there, that gentleman in the No Dunks hoodie in the front row, some of you know him, that's my buddy Grish. No, that's your buddy Grish, that's our buddy Grish.
Too good.
Repping it. What an eye on Roberto. I couldn't believe it. I first off, is this some like Indonesian feed? I believe, I don't know where you're watching this.
VIDIO, never heard of that service.
And like the Champions TV3, I think it's from Indonesia. But anyway, what an eye! And there he is.
What's wrong with his face? They caught him just at a bad screenshot where he's got his eyes closed, hand flopping.
That's what he always
down.
Looks like. What you got your hand in your pocket there, big guy? Keeping your hand on your phone?
Is that a white sweatshirt?
Yes.
It looks like it.
It is a white No Dunks hoodie that you can get
you
at
You know he's
Dunks.
Got a white belt on.
So anyway, I was dying.
Look at this extreme face from the guy behind him, though. Yeah. That guy looks awesome.
That guy looks like fake Jimmy Butler with the hair. A little bit.
Sparse crowd right there, I will say. But anyway, my buddy
That's
Grish, repping
good.
For No Dunks.
Too good.
Okay, so, I mean, one game left in this thing, so we have a pretty good idea about who's going to be named, in theory, to the NBA in-season tournament, all-tournament team. I love saying tournament twice in that.
Tournament.
Who are your five guys, TK, right now? Positions don't matter when it comes to this. I don't know if you took that into consideration or not, so let's hear it. Who you got? No, I knew you didn't.
I didn't even think about whether or not I should. Three guys are locks. Haliburton, LeBron, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
I think those guys are easy.
Yeah.
Tass was making a minor case for a Giannis IST MVP. He was good last night
he
as
was
well.
Good.
So then we got to choose two more spots at any positions.
Yeah.
Between, I think, five guys.
Okay, let's hear it.
Another five guys. Double. Anthony Davis.
Yep.
He's been awesome. He was pretty decent in the group stages. Then he had 27-15 with two blocks against the Suns. Then 16-15 with five assists, two steals, and two blocks against the Pelicans last night. Obviously didn't have to play a whole bunch of minutes. He would be on my team. And then the other guys are Damian Lillard. who was good in the group stages, had that big game against Miami, 32-9 in a must-win game to advance to the tournament, then had 28-7 against the Knicks. Brandon Ingram, stinker last night, 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting, but he averaged 27 in the group stages, had 38-6 against Sacramento and just hit a bunch of big shots. And then Jason Tatum, I think, is in the mix as well, 32-12-6 in a loss against the Pacers. Things went haywire in the fourth quarter, I would say, and the last guy up for consideration, Miles Turner.
I was going to ask. Yeah, okay.
26 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks against the Bucks. 17, 10, a steal, and a block against the Celtics.
So if he has another big game.
If he has another big game, I think so. Yeah.
I think he can get in there.
So I would probably, right now, I'd probably lead Halliburton, LeBron, Giannis, AD, and Turner.
You like that?
I love it. I love going with the guys in the finals.
Yeah.
In tournaments, doesn't always happen. Sometimes they just go with rando from group stage. But AD was phenomenal yesterday in that he could basically concentrate a lot on defense and boarding. And his 5 makes, a couple of them were so pretty because Bron made him look pretty to catch those passes that he was just making because he was getting doubled. Here you go, man. So he looked good. Turner looked good. That was the best dunk of his career, dunking on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, confirmed.
So he's got the pretty highlights. Those two guys got him. So, yeah, they join LeBron, Giannis, and obviously Halliburton.
Yeah, I like the 5 you have there, especially if AD and or Turner both have good games in this final on Saturday night. And then they probably are in there. And then we have, I don't know, do you, maybe people would dislike having, you know, 4 guys from the 2 teams in the finals and wish it was more, you know, inclusive of some of these other quarterfinal teams or semifinal teams. Possibly. We don't really know, I don't think, who votes on this. I guess the media will pick it, but what does that mean? Is it like a 7 panel, you know? Are they going to give this to Doc Rivers too, and he's going to be upset he's got more work to do?
Oh, man.
Just give it to Reggie. He's off tonight. So we'll see. We'll see. But who do you have on your NBA in-season tournament, all-tournament team?
I hope they all get photos, headshots with them holding money.
Well, I thought you were going to say, but what about the bowling ball, the crystal ball that they get?
I like the cash.
They could do a cool photo where they all throw it up in the air and take the photo at the same time.
Dangerous.
It's 20 pounds.
Yeah. 20 pounds of crystal.
Watch your toes. Just quickly here, guys, because it's on Saturday night, 2000 finals rematch here between the Pacers and Lakers. Gold versus gold. Who's going to be wearing it for the NBA Cup gold? I just want to know who you're taking in this one. Tass, you going to continue to ride with your Los Angeles Lakers, or are you going with the Cinderella Pacers?
I'm going with the Lakers because they have great defensive length when they want to throw at Halliburton to help out. You're going to see some random Jared Vanderbilt minutes on Halliburton, or you can throw Cam Reddish or Torian Prince. So I think that's just a great bonus for LeBron and AD, for guys to be taking up space, and then AD doesn't have to go bonkers running around the entire court. He can just play in his zone. So can LeBron. So I like the defense that they'll throw at Halliburton. And yeah, just they could obviously win. The Pacers could obviously win.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be a home game for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's going to help, being that close to LA.
Who are you taking on Saturday night, TK?
I'm going to go with the Pacers.
Yeah.
For the same reason I took the Warriors over the Lakers in the playoffs last year. They shoot threes better. You remember who won in the playoffs last year? Who cares? Yeah. Who cares? Right. I just saw the Pacers beat the Bucks getting outshot from three, so it could happen.
Definitely cheering for the Pacers on Saturday night. I think it is such a great story for the league. You just hope it's an entertaining game. I think the worst thing that would happen here is a 30-point blowout for either team.
Yes.
You know, just one that just turns into a yawner. So hopefully it's close in the fourth quarter. But let's hear from everybody out there. Who are you taking? I had a tweet here that I wanted to sneak in. You talked about like the idea of like, will any of these teams raise banners for this? Like, what are they actually going to do? But at VZJonah80515, what a handle. What do you believe should be the proper celebration for winning the in-season tournament? Both hands on the head, look to the sky, jumping into a teammate's arm, possibly even a tear? Trey Kirby, inaugural IST. Let's say the Pacers win it on Saturday night. Okay, you think it depends on the team a little bit?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. Listen to their post-game interviews.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton is like, I am thrilled to be playing for a championship. I can't wait to go out there and win something. And LeBron just had a destructive game. And in his interview, he said, it's still December, you know?
Yeah.
Still December. I'm happy to be playing, but still December.
So the Lakers don't do anything? They just walk
off? They've got 17 titles.
What does LeBron do if they win a close game on Saturday night? I love that question. Like, what does he do in like immediate aftermath of winning? Does he do the, like, what does he do? Does he just walk off? Bye.
Two hands both up straight.
He's not going to hold on to the ball.
He was dancing on the sidelines when he won his first championship. It was a blowout at that point.
I mean, yeah. Confetti's going to blast.
Confetti will blast.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's going to be a scene.
Yeah, I think they'll make it funny. They'll make it clear that the NBA Larry O'Brien Finals trophy is bigger than this one, and how they do that, I think they do a cheesy dance. I think they go Carlton, like cheesy Carlton dance. Tom Jones snap.
Oh, wow.
All of them. I think they do it quick, because that's hot right now.
Oh, in unison. They line up and do it.
It's back.
All right.
It died for a bit, but now it's on TikTok. People are dancing like that. So we got like 5, 6, 7, 8 guys dance like that.
I don't know.
Both
what,
teams.
I don't know what LeBron or an AD do, or even a Halliburton, who is a star, do, but like those guys on the bench, those guys that don't make a ton of money, they're going to be going ecstatic, I think. They're going to be going nuts. Joe Vardon clarified something that I was wondering about. Players on two-way contracts earn half of what the 15 players on guaranteed contracts on each team receive for advancing in the tournament. Two-way players get half of the, obviously, prize pool money. So, I mean, some of that, like those, still, that's still big money for some of these guys who obviously aren't pulling in a ton here, trying to like hold on and stay in the league. So, yeah, we'll see. What do you think is the move? What's okay? Can you cry? That's the question. Can you cry winning the IST? Mm-hmm. Do it. John Halliburton might be doing it if Tyrese has another monster game.
Parents can cry.
Okay, good.
I want the media asking players, especially the Pacers, who, well, there's a lot of guys, as Trey pointed out, they are one of the lower teams in terms of salary. So if it's 500K, it's already 300K. It's big for a lot of those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want them to be asked, how are you going to spend this money? I want them to answer that. I'm just curious.
Miles Turner said investments.
Wow.
CJ McCollum said charity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Great answers.
Tyrese Halliburton said, "I'm going to get things for my teammates that don't make as much money."
See, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I forget who, did point out, like, "Hey, man, it's Christmas time. This is going to be going to great gifts."
Anthony Davis said, "I'm going to buy gifts for my wife."
That's awesome.
Respect.
Good timing on this.
What is she getting for $500,000? Nice gift. Very nice gift.
I joked last night on Twitter, because this has been such a success, we should immediately add a mid-season tournament, a within-season tournament, a tournament within this tournament. Just make everything a tournament here.
I can't go back.
Because it's amazing. I know.
I can't go back. There's allegedly games on tonight.
I mean, look, the money helps the prize pool for some of these guys that don't make a ton and all that. But like, I think Halliburton was actually correct with like why this is really working. It's just motivation, more motivation to win, because these guys are the most competitive people on the planet. I mean, it really doesn't matter like what the money is or what the title is or whatever. Like, anything to give it a little more stakes. They're crazy, these people. Like, I mean, these athletes. The only way you get to this level is to be a psycho when it comes to being competitive. And, you know, it matters. So it's neat that it's working. I'm happy that, I mean, people were shitting on this idea when it was first announced. A lot of people were like, are you kidding me? And some people are even still trying to say, this is pointless. This is lame. I mean, it's just a regular season. But it's worked. Will it work next year when it's not the inaugural one? I think that's fascinating.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think the insults and the question of it, would it work, was partly when it was scheduled. It was going to be scheduled for January, we thought. After Christmas, before the All-Star game, when people are already watching. I think it was really smart to have it in November, when less people are watching. And, yeah, the NBA was already kicked up in January. But I like how they've played 15 games already, depending on the team. So they're already good. You know, they've already got some legs. That's not like at the beginning of the season. It's not at the end of the season when teams are just trying to relax. The timing is just...
You like where they've slotted it here.
Yeah, they have. They got it going.
All right, Saturday night. Pacers, Lakers. Can't wait. Okay, let's do a little five-star Friday fun. Trey Kirby, you've got some reviews for us. You weren't here, I guess, last Friday. That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, you were at Hogwarts.
Was I? Well, let me think. Friday, I was returning home. I stopped at Bucky's.
Oh, that's even better.
The most magical place on earth.
That's my Disney World. Bucky's.
What even is a beaver nugget? How do they create that? I don't know. Corn? Yeah, right. Corn shouldn't be like that. Anyways, these are five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And yes, now they go into a Slack channel, so we see them early. Easier scouting. This one's from Copty Gaming.
Okay.
Immediate Play is the title. 5 stars. As soon as an episode of No Dunks is out, I play it. These guys have been part of my life for the better part of a decade now. I would gladly invite them over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Respect. I would gladly come. Copty?
Send the invite. You got 11 months.
11 months? Get us over. What games are we playing? Copty Gaming?
Mm.
Oh, great question.
We got lots of time during Thanksgiving to play some games.
Will GTA 6 be out by then? Saw the world. It's huge.
Yeah, it's so much bigger than the GTA it's crazy, 5 man. World, right?
It's crazy.
We're going to be playing this game for years. Next one's from Monkey7 Ben. Like I mentioned, a lot of these do come to our Slack channel, and there are a lot of these ones. The title is Athletic Bosses. They are good. Hello, bosses. No Dunks is very good.
Yeah. We asked you to do this. I specifically said, yeah, bosses are seeing these now. Get to leaving reviews. And people took that very literally.
Yes.
Hello, bosses.
There was a lot of bosses ones.
Yeah.
There was a lot of them.
Awesome.
The next one comes from Big Town Clown. Hey, yo, No Dunkaroos. This show's awesome. Love the chemistry between all the guys, and this pod makes every morning better. Great basketball opinions, entertaining segments, and engaging banter. The Bulls might not be back, but Tass is, and it makes every morning a touch more sweet. Podcast listeners, this is for us.
That's a good one.
Good stuff.
That's a good review.
Good job, clown.
Yeah, big town clown. Here's another shorty from Worms, yo. The title is simply Sickos. And it reads, my favorite strictly basketball podcast. Always good. Sickest of sickly sickos.
Wow, put that on a shirt.
Sickest of sickly sickos. Cool, thanks, Worms.
Thank you, Worms.
Yeah, final one is from Marty S. the Beantown Boy.
Whoa.
He said, we used to be 5 stars. The No Dunks crew used to be one of the best shows on any platform. Then Matty O left, and unfortunately it became the best podcast out there on any subject. Later on, Lee left to follow his dream of eating an organic banana in every country on Earth. And No Dunks really fell off, becoming the by far most outstanding podcast made for listening. This year, Tass has been missing, and the show really suffered a crushing setback, making the pod feel like simply the most entertaining and vital media content imaginable. Thankfully, Tass has returned, and I'm really curious if the show will ever be the same as it used to be, or remain stuck being a piece of auditory art, the importance of which future generations will study along with the greatest works known to mankind. Thank you, Bill Walton, for writing in.
Marty, man. That's great. It's a great review.
That's a great review.
But I don't think the bosses read all that.
TLDR. That's what we'll send on the one that says, No Dunks is very good. Good enough.
Hey, it says 5 stars. Yeah. It says 5 stars. Okay. Thank you to everybody for sending those in.
It's a very good Slack channel. I got to be honest.
It's a great Slack channel.
You're like reading the reviews for the others.
Well. Yeah. A lot of Andrew Schlecht love, if I'm being honest.
Down to Dunk gets a ton of love.
Yep.
And rightfully so. It's a great podcast.
We got another one overnight tonight.
What'd we get?
From Goat. Watching No Dunks is like hanging out with a bunch of silly geese. If the geese know a ton about basketball and the geese are hilarious and the geese are the most experienced NBA podcasting geese in the game, I feel like I'm saying geese too much. 5-star gooses from Goat.
That's good. It's
good writing.
Best geese in the game, man. Put
Best
that on a shirt.
In the game.
I don't know why I like how it sounds.
The goose holding a basketball? That's a cool shirt. You're telling me you wouldn't like to see a goose holding a basketball?
I would, man.
Can't
absolutely.
Even imagine how they would do it. In the mouth?
In the mouth.
The wing?
I think mouth. But
neck?
Yeah, wing, yeah. I guess.
Big neck as well. Under the beak.
Maybe what about like flying in formation, too?
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't have to be on the ground.
That's a great point.
Migrating.
5 geese, 5 basketball players. Flying V.
We got a lot of shirts ideas.
What about this goose?
All right, we got to take one more break. Thank you to everybody for all the reviews. Goose. Love a 5-star Friday. Keep them coming. 5 stars only. Tell the bosses hello. And again, thank you so much. One more break. When we come back, JD has the rapid fire questions. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, let's start wrapping up this Drop podcast with some rapid-fire fun. JD has the questions. The three of us here at the table have the answers. JD, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so this week during an in-arena segment, Giannis effortlessly rattled off 31 types of candy in 30 seconds. It's too complicated to play the clip. But he did it right off the top of his head. It was amazing to watch.
That was great.
It was nuts.
Yeah. So
good. Hold on. Was he reading these answers? His eyes did veer to the left at times.
Conspiracy? You're a candy conspiracy?
But they're not even candies. My man Giannis eats all of them. They're chocolate bars.
You don't think a chocolate bar is candy?
Snickers. I know. In America,
yeah,
chocolate bars are candy.
Yeah.
That's true.
They are.
He ended with snow caps. What the hell are snow caps?
Well, maybe
non-pareils.
Yeah. Something you've never heard of.
But
Ferrero Rocher was in there.
He does famously love candy, though.
Ferrero Rocher was in there. Yeah. That was a pull.
Yeah. You think he was reading, though? I think he wasn't.
Wow. That's. I loved it. I loved it.
If he was reading it.
Yeah, well, there is.
I don't care.
There's a
cut
little
in
something.
It.
If it's Giannis Antetokounmpo reads 31 games, yeah, not
as cool.
Seconds.
Not as cool.
Yeah, okay. Fruit roll-ups. He really gave a fruit roll-ups.
Yeah, he killed it. He did a little dance with his hands.
Somebody spelled it incorrectly on the.
Round Burgundy did.
We're still talking about points.
Possible.
Fruit roll-ups not a candy.
Yeah, that's stretch. That's a stretch.
Okay.
What is it, though?
It's a candy.
Yes, it's closer to
a snack.
Candy than a fruit.
It's a sugary, fruity snack.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, the question is, what's the best candy? Skeets.
Well, can I say chocolate-related
yes,
things?
Yes, of course.
Okay. The best candy to me is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Okay.
That's it a good is. One. I know one of you hate it. You hate it.
I don't hate it, but I think it's overrated.
No,
but
it's amazing.
You know.
Delicious.
I give me a Snickers any day over one of those.
I mean, I like Snickers.
Yeah.
I like a coffee crisp, too. But, no. Peanut butter cups.
For a peanut butter cup, my argument is it's just too sweet. You need a little more saltiness in it. This before. I stick peanuts in my peanut butter cups.
Yeah,
yeah. Peanuts. Peanuts, guys. God. Tess.
Reese, as well as Snickers, both named by Giannis. I had to go with something that he didn't name.
Oh, okay.
After watching them. I'm going on a little alteration of his Almond Joy mention, Bounty, which is the Canadian/British version. It's just an Almond Joy without an almond. It's just full of coconut. So if Giannis likes coconut, you don't need to chew on an almond at the same time. You just got coconut.
So, you gotta like coconut.
It's all coconut.
That's a polarizing
I
one.
I hate that chocolate
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, same. It's like the worst.
I remember Halloween refusing to take it.
You wouldn't even take it?
No. Don't even want it.
Yep.
Give it to the next sucker.
give it to this Greek kid, Canadian kid coming up behind me. He loves them.
This man named 31 chocolates in 30 seconds or 30 candies, whatever they are.
I'm
giving him something he didn't name because it wasn't listed.
Did he name nerds?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Just curious. Not good.
Just FYI. Did not name it.
All right. Trey?
I don't think it's the best candy, but the only candy I want to eat in December is peppermint bark.
Oh, it's good.
Tasty.
It's a number one seasonal treat
in
the game.
It is good.
It's great.
Yeah. We got Girardelli ones right now. No big deal.
Somebody had a good year. Yeah.
But what I like to do, I eat it like a sunflower seed. I bite it, and it separates the white chocolate peppermint from the dark chocolate on the bottom, and then I'm enjoying both. Wow. It's like three treats in one.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good hack.
Yeah.
That's a good hack.
You got to tell Yannis about this one, because that's good. That's candy. It's chocolate, but it's candy. I would call it candy.
God, I hope he was naming those off the top of his dome.
Me too. It seemed like he was.
Yeah.
I zoomed in on those eyes. They were looking off screen, as we all do. Anyway, Yanni's killed it. He killed it.
Fair enough. Okay, guys, next one. It was pickleball night at the Amway Center the other night. Trey, I think you were in town for it. I can't believe you didn't go. You should have went. And members of Major League Pickleball's Orlando Squeeze were in attendance. They sat courtside. They got to do a skills competition, and they gave away some sweet, sweet merch. At one point, so I got a little clip of it here, Zane Navratil, he's a pickleball legend, guys. He gave a signed hat to Joe Ingles unsolicited. He just walked on the court, gave it to him, walked off giggling like a little kid. Ah, I love it. He's actually a great pickleball player. Shout out to Zane. Anyways, here's the question. What's piece of clothing would you like to autograph, and which NBA player would you want to give it to, Skeets?
Good question. A question I didn't think I would have to come up with an answer with.
Oh, wait till the next one.
Yeah. Well, here's my answer to this. What piece of clothing would I like to autograph and give it to an NBA player? I'm going with a former NBA player, if that's okay.
Of course.
Because once upon a time, on a television show called The Starters, I sacrificed my ego and my body to the wedgie gods.
Yes.
I drew the short end of the stick live on the air, and Shaquille O'Neal gave me a wedgie, an actual wedgie, again, to appease the wedgie gods so they would give us more basketball wedgies. And this giant of a man just straight up ripped the underwear off my body, lifting me in the air as my little feet went. So I would like to autograph that ripped underwear, which I still have, been meaning to frame it for 5 years running, but let's just get it to Shaq. I will sign it and give it to Shaq, and hopefully maybe he could put it up in his house.
Yeah, I think he would actually, no joke, I think he would like that. I think he would enjoy it.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll make that happen at one of these tentpole events where I see Shaq.
Great answer.
That's a great video.
You know,
yeah.
carrying a framed underwear around trying to get it to Shaq.
That's a great idea.
That's funny.
Yeah, let's do that.
He would love it.
Okay. Ripped underwear.
Tess.
On that note, I'm going to give something to Shaq as well.
Hmm.
Speaking of pickleballs and Orlando Squeeze, I'm going to give a banana hammock Borat swimsuit. To Shaquille O'Neal. I think he would wear it.
Okay.
He would. He's shown his butt before.
Yeah.
You know. And this swimsuit
where are
is
you going to autograph
that's it? That's what I was going to. Where on the garment will your John Hancock go?
I think I'll go the butt just to tie
there
it.
There is no butt.
It's a thin line. There is actually material.
Hold on, Shaq. Who signed that?
Shaq will pull out that line of his butt to show us that it is signed.
Ass Bellis.
As he's carrying spandex. Because you're wearing spandex underwear that got wedged.
They're boxer briefs. Calvin Klein.
Oh, they're cotton.
Yeah.
What a rip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no doubt. Still deal with it.
Great answer. Trey.
I'm giving Gustavo Ayon a goose shirt.
Perfect.
Gustavo Ayon. We're making this goose shirt, okay?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. We're making it.
Nice.
We're making it. We're all signing it and sending it to Gustavo. He'll love it.
And so what? Does it say something on this goose?
No, it's just a goose holding the basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
I love it.
He would wear it.
He would wear it.
He'd get it sold.
You know his style. He loves that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he'd get it sold, and he's Mexican, right? I think he'd make it happen in Mexico City for a basketball game that goes there. Yeah.
That's actually a funny line of shirts we should do, like bad NBA punts, like Gustavo.
Yeah.
Like we could put like a Gustavo jersey on this goose.
Sure. Right.
And like we could do this for other players.
Great.
You know.
Excellent. Brandon Bass, it's a fish holding a basketball.
What's the Vasquez one that you came up with a long time ago?
Oh, Gray Biscuits. Dad's Quest. Yeah, I had to think of that one.
Dad's Quest.
Gravis Vasquez, yeah.
The pun shirt.
Oh,
pun
the pun shirts.
You guys want these?
Yes.
Let us know. Pew, pew, pew. Okay.
Okay, last one.
Yeah.
On Joe Mandy's double screen this week, he discussed Jason Tatum's latest tattoo with Darcy Carden.
Yep.
How to describe it? Well, here, I'll just show a picture of it.
It's insane.
It's pretty insane. It's the word life, and each letter features a portrait of a movie character that has inspired him. So the L is Denzel Washington in John Q. The letter I is Will Smith in Hitch. And this is an allergic reaction scene, I guess, because his eyes are all puffy. I haven't seen this movie. The F is Wesley Snipes in White Men Can't Jump. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. And then the E is the character Dash from The Incredibles. I mean, he's fast, so maybe that's what it is.
Very fast.
Anyway, the question is, which four movie characters would you have memorialized on your body? And what four-letter word would you choose? Skeets. Oh, by the way, one of the characters must be a cartoon. Oh.
Okay. All right. I am going with the word time.
Okay.
Okay, because I have a very weird theme to my characters and movies that I'm selecting here. Okay, time, and then movie characters that have inspired me, I guess. Give me Maximus, Russell Crowe himself, from
Maximus.
Gladiator, one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. That is set in the Roman times. Okay. Then we go to the 80s. My youth. Of course I have Crew Jones from the movie Rad, the greatest movie I ever made. Then we go to, I guess, a dystopian, not-so-distant future. We've got Cooper, Matthew McConaughey himself from Interstellar. Okay. And then we go to 2085. And my cartoon character is Wally.
Wally, okay.
So I'm on Wally. Yeah. So I have...
That's a good mix.
I have Gladiator, Rad, Interstellar, and Wally.
Wow, and the word is time.
Main characters, and the word is time.
Love it.
I spent 10 hours figuring it out.
Oh my goodness. I was honestly fretting this question because I was like... How can I possibly think of a word where the name of each character is the right letter for the word I want. And then I realized, like, Denzel Washington doesn't start with L.
That's right.
So you can completely freestyle it. That made it a little easier, but this is a stressful one.
Okay. All right, well, Trey, you go next.
Okay. My word is bean, obviously.
Once I
cracked the case, I was like, oh, that's simple. That's simple. Here's who I'm putting in. Dom Toretto from the Fast and Furious universe. Guy Fieri from Life. Just making a face. I would also have Kevin from Home Alone. Maybe Christmas influenced right now, but I think it's one of the greatest movies of all time, regardless of genre.
We talk in aftershave pose? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iconic face scene, just like Will Smith and Hitch. Great movie. Great movie. I gotta agree with Jason Tatum on this one. And then I could not think of which cartoon character I wanted for this. I was just at Disney. I was trying to think who I liked the most. Kind of think about how it's weird that there are still so many kids that are into Mickey Mouse when he hasn't had a big hit for a while. But the guy's an icon.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. The cartoon character I was most excited to see on my week vacation was the Bucky's Beaver.
Nice.
So the Bucky's Beaver's going in my end.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, we just need to get Bucky in a... What's his name, Bucky? His name is Bucky, right?
I would assume so.
I hope so.
Yeah. We just got to get him in a movie, that's all.
Yeah.
Bucky movie.
He'll be coming.
Oh, no, he's coming.
For sure. For sure.
You don't think he's made a cameo already?
I don't know. Has Guy Fieri been in a movie? He must have been.
It's a great question.
A cameo.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
I don't think so.
Really? That guy's he's everywhere.
He's everywhere, but...
Flavortown is all around us.
Yeah, right.
Looks like he might have been an 80 for Brady.
Okay. All right, that counts.
We should have guessed
me?
That.
Excuse me?
Okay, Tassie.
All right, Tassie.
Yes. I've got four characters that are the same character, but performed different roles, and they looked a lot different. I'm going with Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Okay.
In Dumb and Dumber, you know, he's got the bull head.
Yes.
Ace Ventura, he's got the high roll, high lick of hair in that one. Man on the Moon, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Just also a different look. And cartoon character, The Mask. When he's in the mask.
Yeah.
Just the green yellow man.
Yeah.
The word works.
Basically a cartoon.
Yeah. Basically a cartoon. Yeah. The word sucks. I don't have a good word for myself. Sing. I like singing.
Sing.
So just sing. Four Jim Carreys in the word sing. Why the heck not? But I like Jim Carrey's. I like four different Jim Carrey's because he's so good.
At first, I thought you said your word was suck.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, okay.
Suck.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, there That's it. JD, did you do this exercise?
I did, but yeah. Just in case, in case you guys got stuck or whatever. My word is goat.
Oh, good. Oh. That's.
And okay. These are just my favorite movie characters. Withnail from Withnail and I. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Richard E. Grant. It's classic. Marge Gunderson from Fargo.
Gunderson.
This is great. Keep going. Yeah.
Gunderson. Anton Chigurh. Oh, I just realized I have two Coen Brothers movies here. Yeah. Anton Chigurh, played by Javier Bardem. That's No Country for Old Men. And maybe because it was fresh on the dome, Edna Mode. From The Incredibles.
Oh, there you go.
The Q character, basically, from The Incredibles, played by the director, Brad Bird. Classic. Classic.
Classic. Wow, JD, you brought it with these rapid-fire questions, man. It was unreal stuff. Great answers from everyone. Let's hear your answers, as you are doing right now, in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in. At No Dunks Inc. If you're a Survivor fan, I encourage you to check out yesterday's No Buffs Survivor podcast. Breaking down episode 11 from this week. Only two left. And we talked a lot about who's going to win this game as we get into the home stretch here of Survivor 45. So go check that out. No Buffs has its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. Otherwise, we are back on Monday with NBA Weekend Winners and Losers. Make sure you join our No Dunks playback room. Some talk of a possible playback for the championship game on Saturday night. We'll see, but join our room and you get alerted when we go live. And then no games on Sunday once again. You said this a while ago, Tess. So we'll have a bunch of games on tonight. If you care about these games at all. Do they even matter anymore? And then Saturday's one game. But we'll be doing winners or losers of the weekend. So come join us at Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, playback.tv/NoDunks, because we'll be doing it Saturday. I got to do it. We got to do it. They've added a feature for people who don't have League Pass here in the U.S. to be game casting at the same time. It's new. It's fun.
That's slick.
We'll see you there.
Okay, we'll see you Saturday night for the in-season tournament final. Otherwise, Monday morning. Embrace the weekend, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.